Speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. For this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. We now stand ready for your word. Father, we pray that everything that we do and everything that we say will be pleasing in your sight and bring glory and honor to you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my strength and redeemer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you have ever looked for something and couldn't find it? I swear my wife just moves stuff just so she makes me think I need her more than I actually do. I mean, every time I turn around, she'll move something. But it's gotten so bad now that I can't even blame her because I move stuff and put it and forget where I put it. Just this morning, I was looking for my microphone in the office, trying to remember where did I put that thing? It should be right here in the drawer. Then it was like, oh, wait a minute. 2 weeks ago, you went and you did, no, 3 weeks, and you did, wait a minute, where is, oh, check in the car. I think that's where I left it. Now, here's one of the things that I have learned in life. There's just some things you don't want to lose, right? So I came up with a list. Top 7 things you don't want lost. Your children. Although some of you may want your children lost, especially if they're grown, right? Your wallet or your purse. You want to make sure you keep up with that. Your keys. Yeah, your keys. I got to get one of those beepers to put on there so I can find it with my phone where I leave my keys. Your telephone. Don't want to lose your telephone. For those of you who are pet parents, you don't want to lose your fur children, right? You want to keep up with them. Your eyeglasses. Yeah, and that's the irony, right, of all ironies, when you lose your glasses and you can't see without your glasses, which means you can't see to try to find where your glasses are. Here's another one you don't want to make sure is lost. Yourself. Right? I don't know about you, man, but that's kind of a scary feeling when you lost and then it seems like you really lost, like for real, and you like, ooh, okay, let me find out where I am real quick. Over the years, here's what I've learned, a real basic principle, and it's almost insulting to say it to you. When something is lost, here's what I've discovered. You'll never find it until you look where it is. Like, you can tear the house up, you can look all over the place, but you will never find it until you look where that item is. Now, somebody may ask the question, why is that important for us today? It's important for us today because I believe there are many of you in here under the sound of my voice and those of you who are watching who are looking for something important. You're looking for peace of mind. You're looking for happiness. Some of you are looking for maybe not necessarily the best thing. You've been looking for a get-rich-quick plan, right? You've been looking for a spouse. You've been looking for something, and you just have not been able to find it. Here's what I've learned. Some of you are looking for the wrong thing in the wrong place, which is a recipe for disaster. Some of you are looking for the wrong thing in the right place. And some of you are even looking for the right thing, but you've been looking in the wrong place. This Resurrection Sunday, in a world that is in search of so much, people who are in need of so much, not on the outside, but on the inside, I want to talk to you from the thought how to find what you really need in life. How to find what you really need in life. And I want you to circle that word really. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand. For those of you who are watching, wherever you are, you can go to goodhope.org or go to our app, wherever you get your apps, and you can find a fill-in-the-blank outline there. Many of us are looking, searching, trying to find fulfillment in life. We're trying to find happiness. We're trying to find peace. And everything that you have done to find what you have been looking for has been to no avail. For example, there are some of you, you've been looking for a significant other. How's that been working out for you? You've been looking and you've been going to the same place over and over again and end up with the same person over and over again. Different name, but the same person. Over and over again. And the question is, how are you going to find what you really need in life? There's somebody in here, somebody who's watching. You have been living your life and you have sworn that there are certain things you can't live without. But guess what you have done? Learned how to live without it. What do you really need in life? Our text today is Luke chapter 24. And I want to look at this Easter resurrection story and share with you some insight that I hope and pray would leave you better prepared to find what you're looking for. And for somebody who has heard this passage before, guess what? You may be looking for something else. And God says, let me remind you of where you're going to find what you really need in life. Here's the first thing. Number one, you need to realize everybody, everybody is looking for something meaningful in life, including you. Everybody is looking for something meaningful in life, including you. Chapter 24, verse 1. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. These women went to the tomb to fulfill the burial tradition of anointing the body with spices. They went looking for the body of Jesus, but it was not to be found. And the question on the table is, what are most people looking for in life? What are you looking for in life? These women went looking for Jesus. What are you looking for? See, depending on the hurts, habits, or hang-ups of your past, the pain in your present, or the dashed hopes for your future, people are looking for a variety of things. Sometimes you're looking for something and you don't even realize what you're looking for. Sometimes you're looking for the right thing, but you're looking for it in the wrong form. Let me give you at least four things that people tend to look for in life. Write these down somewhere. One, people look for the need and have the need for love. They want love. They want to feel that basic desire of being loved, of being cared for. We so desperately want love that many times we will accept whatever love we can get, whether it's conditional or unconditional. And in many instances, we use love as a commodity to be exchanged. Let me put a cord in the meter and talk to some grown folk today. Many times what you will discover is that part of the problem between the relationship between men and women is that they are using love to get ultimately what they want. Men will give love to get sex. They will love, they will flatter, they will encourage, flowers, candy, teddy bears, thoughtfulness, because they see love as a means to get intimacy. And women will give sex or intimacy to get love, because ultimately that's what a woman wants. She wants the security that comes from being loved. She wants that assuredness. She wants that base foundation in her life to be loved for who she is, not who she pretends to be. And the two intersect at intercourse. But the problem is, once the man gets love or gives love to get sex, the love stops coming. And once women give sex to get love, the sex stops coming. And then you end up with people at opposite ends of the spectrum talking about you don't do what you used to do, like you used to do it. You did what you did to get me, but you're not doing it to keep me. Y'all are real quiet in here. I must be on point. There's a basic need that we have for love. The other thing a lot of people are looking for is to belong. To belong. To be part of something. Hopefully you can be made to feel belonging in your family, your natural family. But sometimes your family by chance is not as powerful, is not as encouraging as your family by choice. So we look for families to belong to. We call these families by a variety of names. If you're on the streets, you call them a gang or a crew. If you're in college, you call them a fraternity or sorority. But the need is the same, looking for a place or people to belong to. Who can I identify with? Who are my people? Some people are looking for value and purpose in life. Matter of fact, what I've discovered is, especially since the pandemic, people are looking for value and purpose even when they're not looking for God. They're looking for value and purpose. We have seen men and women, listen carefully, who have professed atheism. They don't believe in God. Who have come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior out of our life groups, because it's been in the life groups that they have discovered value and purpose for their life and living. That's why I tell people all the time. That's why I tell you. That's why I tell churches and leaders that I train around the country. The new invitation to church is not inviting people to come and sit and hear your pastor. The new invitation is to invite them to serve and help them find purpose. Some people are just looking for peace. Can I just have peace? Can I stick my key in the door and just have peace? Just want peace of mind. Just no stress, no drama, no chaos, no confusion, no craziness. Can I just have peace? And people are looking for peace. And sometimes they self-medicate just to get a portion of peace. Can I just have a moment of peace? And with all of the emotional, mental, and spiritual scars that many of us are walking around with, the strongholds that we have failed to identify, that we have failed to address, the alcoholism, the drug abuse, the divorce, all of that stuff many times comes out of those unresolved issues that keep us from having peace on the inside, even when things are quiet on the outside. So it doesn't matter whether you're looking for pharmaceutical help or retail therapy. At the end of the day, what you're really looking for is peace. And you may be looking for the right thing, but here's the problem. You will never find peace, joy, or even extended happiness when you look for it in the acquiring of possessions or the getting of creature comforts. Everybody's looking for something meaningful in life, even you. Here's the second thing. Number two, you must realize looking for the right thing does not matter if you are looking in the wrong place. You're looking for the right thing, but it doesn't matter if you're looking in the wrong place. The women were terrified, verse 5 says, Luke 24, the New Living Translation, and bowed their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who's alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead." Why are you looking among the dead for somebody that is alive? One of the classic scenes in that classic movie, Coming to America. You remember when Eddie Murphy's character, well, he played several characters, but you remember Prince Akeem goes to the barbershop and he wants to know where to meet a good woman. And the barber, Eddie Murphy, he goes, boy, where are you looking for a woman? I'm going to clubs. I'm like, well, that's the problem. You're going to the wrong place. You can't find no good girl in the club. You got to go to church. And basically what he was telling the prince was, hey, man, you're looking for the right thing, but you're looking in the wrong place. These women were looking for the right thing with the best of intentions, but the problem was they were looking in the wrong place. They thought they were going to find a dead Jesus. And the angel says, no, 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 you're looking for Jesus, but you're looking for the wrong Jesus because Jesus is alive. I can't tell you how many times I've torn up the house or the car looking for something, never able to find it because it wasn't where I was looking. I was looking for the right thing, y'all, but I just could not find it anywhere. And to compensate for what you're missing on the inside, many of you have tried to substitute and supplement with stuff you can acquire on the outside. But here's the truth of the matter. If you're honest with yourself, cars, cash, commodities, creature comforts, clothes, houses, boats, vacation homes, jewelry, none of it will really satisfy the emptiness that's on the inside. You'll have stuff and still not have what you're really looking for. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 19 through 21, don't store up treasures here on earth where moth eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Anything that you are seeking satisfaction from that can be eaten, destroyed, or stolen is a temporary fix at best. He says you can look for the right thing, but man, if you spend your life looking in the wrong place, you'll never get it. Here's the third and final thing. If you're going to find what you really need in life, number three, you need to know you can only find what you need in life when you look in the right place. Verse 6, Luke chapter 24, he isn't there. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. Then they remembered that he had said this. Underline verse 8. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. Then they remembered that he had said this. Can I tell you one of the reasons that I believe God had me share this text with you today is because some of you needed to be reminded. Some of you needed to be informed, yes, but some of you know better, but you have forgotten, and so you have stopped doing better. Because it's so easy to slip into those old behaviors. It's so easy to try to find satisfaction if you're not careful in the wrong place. It's so easy to get the temporary pleasures from a misguided and misdirected effort and then forget that that's not where God wants you to be. They went to the tomb looking for a dead Jesus. The angels say there's no dead Jesus here, but there's a risen Savior that's waiting for you. No matter what has happened in your life, you can find what you're looking for, and more importantly, you can find what you need But you can only find it when you look in the right place, listen, and consistently keep your eyes and keep your mind focused in that place. I was talking to my daughter the other day. She called me. She wasn't feeling good. She wasn't in the best of places. I asked her what was wrong. And she said she was riding down the street. She saw a group of friends gathered at a friend's house. And so she naturally pulled over. What was going on? What was happening? Nobody told her they were getting together. And they were at the house of a friend who had apparently committed suicide. Now, my daughter is 40 years old. She's been to more funerals for friends than I have. Because she's part of a generation that sadly has seen a moment in their life as a lifetime sentence. And so they have felt that it was better to take their life than to live through what they were going through. And part of the reason is because they have tried to take on issues and situations on their own and have never talked to anybody older than them who has been through what they've been through, who would say, baby, don't even worry about it. It'll be all right. Don't even worry about it. But it's on social media. Don't worry about it, baby. It's all right. Folk like their news like they like their bread fresh. Just let it die down. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. Right? But they don't have anybody to tell them it's going to be all right. And this is what she said to me. She said she was shocked. She said because he had everything that you would think would make him successful. He had a car. He had a house. He had a good job. He had everything that you would look at and say, man, he is successful. But clearly something was missing in his life. And my brothers and sisters, here's what I want you to understand today. Someone here today, you may have everything in your life and you look successful from the outside, but when people look at your life, they don't see what you're going through on the inside. And I am not crazy enough to believe that people don't come to church or people come to church and don't take their lives. And you might think about that and say, well, how would somebody come to church and then take their life? Because you can be in the right place and still not be in the right frame of mind. I want to help somebody today who has been looking in the right place for the wrong thing, or you've been looking in the wrong place and you've been looking for something to satisfy you that can only be satisfied by God. I need you to know today, you did not come here looking for all of this. I know, but God has sovereignly seen fit to bring you to this place and this time so you would not only be in the right place, but you could find the right thing for your life. Somebody in here, you need love. You need a family. You need a family of faith. Look at John 3:16. A, God can meet your need for love. God can meet your need for love. Verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Look at 1 John 4:10. Let's read it together. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. It's an unconditional love that God has for you. I need you to hear me today. Nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. He just loves you. He loves you at your worst to help you become your best. And don't become better with him and then try to be your best without him. Look at B. God can meet your need to belong. He came to his own people. Verse 11, John chapter 1 says, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Ephesians 2:19, let's read it together. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all God's holy people. You are members of God's family. So I went to a PWI, Swarthmore College, and we had no fraternities. We had one fraternity, and it was a white fraternity that specialized in drinking beer. And so I didn't fit either category to join. I didn't know anything about fraternity life or anything like that. And then, as I got older and heard about grad chapters, I'm just talking about me. I'm not talking about nobody else. I got enough whippings carrying my daddy's name that I wasn't going to take no more whippings to carry anybody's name. That's just me. I'm not claiming abuse. I'm just saying. But there was a moment that gave me peace with who I am. My wife will say to me sometimes, she says, you walk in a room sometimes like you just own the room. You just walk in like you don't even think about it. And I said, let me tell you what set me free. In 1989, when I went to Dallas Seminary, a professor by the name of Bill Lawrence taught a class called Spiritual Life and Formation. Had no idea what the class was going to look like, but I had a friend who was a member of the church that I attended who said, hey, man, when you take spiritual life, take it from Bill Lawrence. That's who you want to take it from. So I took his word, and I took it from Bill Lawrence. And one of the things that was seminal in that class, Bill Lawrence taught us, was your identity in Christ. He said, I want you to leave here knowing who you are in Christ. And that, brother, walked me down the scriptures to show me my value and who I am in Christ. So much so that everybody else's value judgment of me paled in comparison to who I am in Christ. Look. That's like somebody telling you, you got a piece of jewelry that's worth $5 million. $5 million. So if somebody come up to you and say, man, you worth $1 million. You get excited by that? No. Not when I had an expert already tell me that I'm worth $5 million. Somebody come and say, listen, man, I'll give you $500,000. You'd be like, what? $500,000? Man, I'm worth $5 million. Once I discovered who I was in Christ, I recognized that it didn't matter how somebody else valued me. Y'all not hearing me today. Matter of fact, I'm working on a project right now, y'all. Y'all pray for me. I'm working on this thing, and it's called Living Your Life from the Inside Out. Because too many of us live from the outside in. And we measure who we are and our success and how good we are based on the opinions of folk on the outside, not by the one who created us who lives on the inside. The Lord says you can belong to the family of God. Some folk may put you out of the family. God says, no, you're welcome in this family. Look at C, God can meet your need for value and purpose. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. Matthew 10 says, they cannot touch your soul. Fear only God who can destroy both body, soul and body in hell. What is the price of two sparrows, one copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your father knowing it. and the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Look at D. God can give you peace despite what you're going through. See, so many of us, we think peace is the absence of chaos and the absence of confusion. And we have the nerve to blame folk for taking our peace. Let me help somebody in here. Nobody can take your peace. You can only give it away. You can only give it away. John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. This is a peace that passes all understanding. I wish I had one or two people who could testify what it means to have the peace of God no matter what's going on in your life. No matter what other people do, what other people say, right? Because here's what I've learned, y'all. Stress is a choice. You say, what do you mean? I'm stressed out all the time. That's your choice. Why is it that some people are stressed by something and some people are not stressed by the very same thing? Because you choose how you respond to the stimuli around you. You decide. You decide if you're going to be stressed. My brothers and sisters, life is full of people who are searching. Searching for meaning, searching for purpose, searching for love, searching for peace, searching for direction. And whether you want to admit it or not, everybody is looking for something meaningful in life, including you. And sometimes you got to be reminded. Sometimes you've got to be reminded, listen carefully, that God is the source of all that you need. See, the tragedy is not in looking. That's not where the tragedy is. The tragedy is looking for the right thing in the wrong place. And too many of you, amen. Brother David, just pray for it. Just pray with it right there, all right? Just pray with it. Too many of you are sitting here right now looking and searching for something. And here's what I need you to know. You can sincerely search and still be sincerely wrong. You can be searching with passion and still end up on a dead-end path. Some of you are looking for peace in your possessions. You're looking for fulfillment and fame, and you're looking for healing in human hands. But those wells will run dry, and those roads will leave you empty. You'll never find what you're looking for until you look in the right place and you find the right person, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the living water that satisfies. He is the bread of life that sustains. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the peace that passes understanding. Everything else will leave you thirsty. Everything else will leave you tired. Everything else will leave you hungry. Everything else will leave you lost. But at the end of the day, it is God and God alone who can help you. You're looking for money, but God wants to give you meaning. You're looking for prosperity, but God wants to give you purpose. You're looking for religion, but God wants to give you a relationship. You're looking for perfection, but God wants to give you acceptance. You're looking for control, but God wants to give you peace. You're looking for a plan, but God has a promise for you. You're looking for success, but God wants to give you significance. And when you truly find Jesus, you'll discover he's been what you've been looking for all along. So today I want to encourage somebody, stop chasing shadows. Stop looking for dreams. Stop digging empty wells. Stop looking in broken places. Stop depending on broken people. Did you hear what I said? I said, stop, look, no, look at me, y'all. Look at me. If you're going to look over there, pray. I need you to look at me right now. Stop digging empty wells. Stop looking in broken places and stop depending on broken people. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus because he suffered for you. Look to Jesus because he died for you. And thanks be to God, he rose for you with all power in his hands. The power to save, the power to heal, the power to deliver, the power to bless, and the power to make you whole. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today, Lord. Father, we pray for our sister right now. In the name of Jesus, we cover her in believing prayer. Whatever it is that she is wrestling with, dealing with, whatever's tormenting her, God, we recognize, God, that we are in a spiritual battle. And God, we thank you for that reminder today, because we know that when you rose from the dead, you rose for her just like you rose for us. And God, we claim right now in the name of Jesus that you would give her peace, that you would bring healing to us, that you would allow her to find here the love that she needs in order to move to what she's been looking for. God, I pray for everybody under the sound of my voice. I pray, God, right now in the name of Jesus, that you will use today to remind us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And while so many times we play church, you have called us to be the church. You've given us the power to speak, to cast out, to cast down, to bring healing and hope in the name of Jesus. So we ask you to bless now and do beyond what we can ask or think. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.